Children of God, it is wonderful to be gathered in the house of our Father once again this morning. And as we are gathered here, we know that we are able to be in His presence. We are able to be in this place because the Prince of Peace has come and brought us peace with God. And that God and that peace came through His Word and through His sacraments. And especially we remember baptism, that day that we were brought into the family of God. So let us begin our service in remembrance of our baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this beautiful day, Lord, this day that you have made for us to worship you. Lord, I pray that you would be here among us, Lord. Send your Spirit to work in our hearts and minds, Lord, so that we can know you as the God that you are and return worship and praise to you as you deserve. Help us, Lord, to continue to grow in our relationship with you as our faith is strengthened by your word and sacraments. All this we pray in your holy name. Amen. Everybody, let's stand up as we confess our sins to God our Father and receive his forgiveness. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, we have been forgiven. Now let us return praise and thanksgiving to the one who has rescued us. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Kevin Shaig, one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first scripture reading is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 to 18. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples on the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion, in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. This is the word of the Lord.
The first binder I picked up was for last Sunday, and while Easter was really fun, I figure we don't want to do it again today. So let us open the Word and let's read the sermon text for today, which comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here to see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. It is now time for the children's message. So kiddos, if you would come forward at this time, Mr. Lewis Johnson has the message this morning.
Okay, we do have a few kids. It's good to see you. How's everybody this morning? All right. For those of you who were here last Sunday, and Pastor Bob kind of mentioned this, and I'm going to continue this. So if you remember last Sunday, Easter, we started the service and we said, "He is risen." And everybody said, "So I want to do that, but we're going to do it much better than they did." So here's what I want you to do. And normally you don't get a chance to do this, but I'm giving you the okay that when I say "He is risen," you're going to say "He is risen indeed, hallelujah," but you're going to say it as loud as you possibly can. Okay? Everybody understand? Okay, so when I say "He is risen," you're going to say "He is risen indeed, hallelujah," as loud as you can. One, two, three. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
That's pretty good. Let's try that again. And you guys can join in too. Okay, so we're going to do it again. So I'm going to say "He is risen," and then you're going to say "He is risen indeed. Hallelujah," as loud as you can. He is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah. Great job. So how do you feel when you say that? How does that make you feel? Good. Yeah. And what I want to talk to you about today is that even though we celebrated Easter last week, that feeling, knowing that God is risen indeed, that we have that joy in us every day. So even times when maybe you're feeling sad or maybe things aren't going the way you would like, always know that God is with you and that he is risen. And one day we will see him in heaven. Okay? All right, let's pray. And you repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for giving me the Easter joy in my heart. May I carry that with me every day. Amen. All right, and remember, he is risen. All right. Now it's time for a little worship, and I see the cross is moving to the back. So for those four years old to fourth grade, you have a special message for you.
Thank you, Lewis. Shalom. Anybody know what to do with that? I mean, this is one of those like ancient things that we kind of forget about after a while, right? But this was a greeting that the Jewish people used with each other. And they used it like all the time. Whenever they met each other, they would say shalom. And that it was response was shalom. And here's what they're doing. They're wishing each other peace, right? Well, Jesus showed up, and he had a little bit different of a greeting on that day, in the text today. He comes in, and he says, "Peace be with you." So what exactly was he saying? Well, to get to that, what does peace mean, right? Some of us think peace, sometimes we can understand what a word means by understanding its antonym, right? I mean, sometimes that works, right? Can I describe what light is? Can I show you darkness? And then will you know what light is? Right, because you see the opposite and it becomes very clear. Okay, well, I think peace is a lot like that. So what is the opposite of peace? A lot of us would say war, right? Because that would be the opposite of peace in our normal day-to-day thing. But when we're talking about scriptural definition of peace, it's not war. To get to the idea of what is the opposite of peace, we need to go back all the way to creation. And the second sentence in the Bible, first sentence is, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Second sentence, "And the earth was formless and void," right? In Hebrew, it's the first rhyme that appears in the Bible. It's tohu vavohu. Isn't that great? What it means is this. The first word, tohu, means chaos. No order. No structure. No sense. No reason. Nothing. Right? And vohu means substanceless. I'm trying to come up with a way to describe it, but basically what it means is this. When substance comes, a whole bunch of thing comes with it, right? Not only do you get stuff, but you get rules that govern the stuff, right? You get structure, reason, logic, everything comes with it because now that there is substance, there is rules that govern that substance. You get this? And so we have, there's chaos, so there's no complete disorder, but in addition to that, there's no substance, which of course means that there's no rules. It is just, the best word is a mess. In the South, we talk about people that way, right? We say, they're a hot mess. All right, this is the ultimate hot mess. There was nothing. There wasn't even anything to work with. There wasn't any rules by which things could be manipulated. There was nothing. That's the opposite of peace. The opposite to peace is utter chaos and disorder. The lack of substance and the lack of any hope. There was nothing. And God spoke into that nothing, and by his divine authority and might, he imposed his will upon that nothing, and he made it into something. And when he made it into something, not only did he call order out of chaos, he created substance and he molded it. He gave it rules. He gave it structure. He gave it reason. He gave it sense. The sense that our science today is continuing to try to unpack is all the stuff that God spoke into that nothing in the very beginning. God took that tohu vabohu, and he shalomed it. He made it into something that was beautiful, something that had order, something that had structure and elegance, something that conformed to reason and sense and logic, and something that has rules, something that we can see and manipulate and use and discover and enjoy. He created all of that. And the original creation was an amazing thing. I mean, we can't even fully imagine what it all meant, but all of it worked together perfectly. I mean, there wasn't competing values. Everything's had its value in bringing glory to God, the Creator. And so the man and the woman got along great because they didn't have competing agendas. Their agenda was all in keeping with God. Their relationship with God was perfect, so their relationship with each other was perfect. All of creation had as its goal to bring glory to God. And so the man and the woman who are living in creation were living in complete harmony with everything that had been made because there was no competing agenda. Everybody was focused on one thing, bringing glory to him. And they were capable of doing so. Gives you goosebumps to think about. And that's the way it was until sin. And what sin did is it was this thing that it was like throwing sand in the gears of the transmission. I mean, it just ruined everything. It corrupted everything. It took the perfect relationship between God, man and God, and shattered it. I mean, we no longer had peace with God because now those human beings had their own agenda. They had their own direction. The reason that they fell into sin in the first place is because their desire was for them to be able to understand things on their own so they could make their own decisions. They wanted to govern themselves. They wanted to be like God. And when that relationship between God and man fell into sin, they lost peace. peace with God. And peace is such a multidimensional thing. There's so much to it. As you can imagine, if we're talking about a word that describes the perfection of God's will on the earth, you know, that thing that makes everything work the way the Creator wanted it to work, there's going to be a whole bunch of different sides to that, right? Well, one side to that is this. Peace is inextricably connected to truth. When God created, He created not just substance, but He created truth about that substance. He created something that is right. He created reality itself. You know, it's funny, in scientists, there's a lot of people today who like try to follow science as if they're following a God. Science is not God. Science is actually kind of like the opposite of God, not in a bad way, but in a way of this, where God spoke His words and created truth, created reality, right? Scientists look at reality and try to describe it in words. You see how this goes? I mean, it's a radically different thing. And so the thing is this, what is true? What is true is whatever God has made. Whatever God describes, whatever God reveals, that is what is true. And when we find our own, when we want to govern ourselves, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, they lost the truth. And they lost peace. You know, part of being in this perfect peace relationship was that everything was interconnected and worked together perfectly, right? Everybody had a role, or everything in creation had a role, and it did that role. It took part and it made a perfect whole, a beautiful synergy of all the things that God put together. And when people decided to follow their own way, instead of doing the task that God gave them to do and living out the role that God gave them to live, they rebelled. And that rebellion didn't just damage their relationship with God, it damaged all of creation and the peace that God had made. And so, we don't live in a very peaceful world. I mean, we live in a world where there's a lot of agendas, have you noticed? I mean, and we have to have entire court systems. Because of all the different agendas that are out there, and somebody, every once in a while, somebody's agenda clashes with somebody else's, and we have to have a trial and a court proceeding to kind of find justice and to figure out how peace should work. And we have, when that can't happen, we have wars, we have fights, we have conflict, we have anger, we have all kinds of destructive things that come. Definitely not peace. And then we have the effect of what this lack of peace brings. In Jeremiah 4, Jeremiah is prophesying and he says, I looked on the earth and behold, it was tohu vabohu. What he's telling us is this. He's saying, what you deserve is to be unmade. This lack of peace, this lack of perfection, this destruction of our relationship with God, the end result of this is that you be formless and void, that you be unmade, that you be returned to the chaos from which you came, because you don't deserve to exist. But Jeremiah tells us in just a few verses later, he says, the whole land will be a desolation. Yes, there will be punishment. Yet, I will not execute a complete destruction. God in His mercy would not carry out the justice that we deserved. We deserved unmaking. But God had a different plan. Last Sunday, we celebrated that other plan. That God sent someone into the world called the Prince of Peace. the priest, the peace bringer, the peace maker. And he did it by undoing exactly what Adam and Eve did in the garden. Sin was the destruction of that peace. So Jesus dealt with sin. And he dealt with sin when we know by taking it upon himself that he took the guilt of all the sin of all people of all time, brought it upon himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And he died guilty of our sin, even though he had never done anything wrong himself. And he paid the penalty in full. And what this does is take sin out of the equation. So now when we stand before God, we who have been brought into the church through baptism, into the faith through baptism, those of us who have read his word and hear his gospel and trust in this message by the work of the Holy Spirit, and those of us who attend this table and receive this meal, and by faith through this meal receive the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that God has for us. Those of us children of God, adopted into his kingdom, adopted into his family, have peace with God. That's some pretty weird stuff. You know what I'm saying? We have peace with God. That means that God has restored our relationship with him to the place where it was in Eden, that we are perfect before him, that we have no guilt because we, instead of the guilt that we deserve, we have been clothed with the new life of Christ. We have peace. The disciples were living in a very tumultuous moment. Their rabbi had just been killed. They really didn't know who they were or what they were supposed to be doing. They were rather distraught. They were afraid of the Jewish leaders and hiding in an upper room. And all of a sudden, Jesus appeared to them. And what was the first words out of his mouth? Do you think the disciples needed peace at that moment? A little bit. Right? And just because he knew they really needed peace at that moment, what was the second sentence that he said to them? Peace be with you again. Then he said one of the scariest things ever written in Scripture. You ready for this? As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now, tell me, how well did this work out for Jesus? Right? I mean, when the Father sent Jesus into the world, was this a really awesome experience for Jesus? Not so much. And so, but Jesus is saying, and he means it, you know, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. All right, who's feeling comfortable about that? It's a little alarming, right? Does Jesus know this? Sure, yeah. So what does he do next? He doesn't answer the what. He doesn't say, this is what I'm sending you to do. He doesn't get to that yet. He starts with the how, because you guys aren't going to be able to do this, right? You guys are a little bit too weak-kneed. You guys are a little bit, it's a little bit hard. So here's what I'm going to do. Receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the breath of God. Receive the Holy Spirit. Because it is only through this Spirit that you are going to have the ability to be the one I send. I am sending you to be my ambassador. I am sending you to speak for me in the world. The only way you're going to be able to do this is if you do it with the power of the Spirit, if you do it listening to the Spirit, if you do it allowing the Spirit to speak through you so that his word can be heard. It all is about that Spirit, the one who is going to empower us. And then he says, what? Right? First how, then what? Guys, your job is to forgive sin. The work of the cross is done. Salvation has been won. The forgiveness of sins for all people has been finished. But people haven't yet received the gift. Your job is to go into the world and proclaim this forgiveness. And he tells us this, if we don't do it, it doesn't get done. Not to give you any pressure, right? But we actually are responsible for the unbelievers around us. Not responsible to convert them because we can't do that, but we are responsible to proclaim what Jesus has done. And that when they repent, that we forgive their sins. It's what we are called to do. We are called to be his ambassadors, his people that go into the world and do this work. There is no plan B. This is the plan that God has given us. This is our task. This is our role. This is our joy. As the people who have found peace with God, we live out that peace by proclaiming that peace. We live the peace, we share the peace, we speak the peace. We work out the peace with actions of righteousness and mercy. By forgiving the people who don't deserve it, we live out that peace. And that peace is an amazing thing because, you know, everybody says, well, if I give away everything I have, then what will I have? And I say, well, heaven. Well, what if I work all of my life? What is my retirement going to be? Heaven. Well, wait, what if I, but if I never ever stop working for God, my life is just going to be a whole bunch of work. And I say, yup. And that is God's will for us. We live our lives as a sacrifice to the one who saved us. We continue to carry out the work of his salvation. He earned the forgiveness. We proclaim the forgiveness. And we do it from the moment we come to faith until the moment he takes us to live with him in heaven forever. And I have a feeling while we're in heaven, we're going to do a little bit of praising God about his amazing joy. We'll probably continue to proclaim his righteousness and forgiveness forever. It's what we do. It's who we are. It's who he has made us to be. And so as we are gathered here, as we are his children, as we live in his peace, as we have this peace that surpasses understanding, let's live it. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, we are going to continue our worship service by collecting the offering. As the offering is taken, I would also ask that you would record your attendance in the books that you'll find near your seats, and we will also continue to praise God as the offering is taken.
We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming.
Please stand as we confess our faith using the explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and innocent suffering and death. And I believe so, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. My friends, let's turn to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you have redeemed us. Lord, that in spite of our not deserving it, in spite of our deserving to be unmade, uncreated, Lord, that you, in your incredible love and your vast desire, Lord, your mercy to rescue us, that you didn't only not destroy us, Lord, but that you sent your Son into this world to redeem us and restore peace with you. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to evermore understand what that peace means, Lord, in our lives. The peace that surpasses understanding, Lord, that you infuse into every place in our life, Lord, in our relationships, in our relationship with nature, in our relationship with the people who live around us, Lord, at work and at home and everybody, every place, that every part of our life has been remade with as we live out the new life that you have given us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to know this peace and help us to share this peace, Lord, in every decision we make and every relationship we have, that we would exude and just overflow, Lord, with the forgiveness, Lord, that creates peace by forgiving their sins, Lord, of the people as they come to faith in you. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with all of us, Lord, through the difficulties of life, Lord. It gets to be difficult, Lord, to always be able to keep you in the front of our minds, Lord, as we go through challenging times, as we go through painful times, as we go through times that just distress us. And I pray that, Lord, that you would continue to send your Spirit to work in our hearts and minds, Lord, that we would be able to, by his strength and with his prompting, remember that we live in your peace, that we have your forgiveness that we can share. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless us, Lord, by growing relationships, Lord, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to mutually encourage one another, Lord. Help us to remind each other of the forgiveness that we have in you. Help us, Lord, to build up each other. Help us to help support each other. Help us to live as your family, as your body, helping each other, Lord, to remain in faith until you come for us again. And Lord, I pray that you would help this body continue to work together as we reach out with your love and peace and joy into our community, into the world, Lord, that we can share what we have been given so that we can share this incredible message of peace, Lord, but then also share everything that we have been given, Lord, every resource that we enjoy. Help us to use it for your will, for your ministry, for your purpose, so that you will be glorified in all that we do, Lord, because that is the reason we were made. Help us, Lord, in all times and in all circumstances. We are weak, but you are strong, and you are for us. Thank you, Lord. And let us pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Praise unto the Lamb of God.
What an amazing time. This time of intimacy with our Savior, this time when we get to be in his presence and receive him in an indescribable way. But through it, we know that our God continues to bless, continues to grow, continues to send his Spirit to work in our hearts and minds, to bond us with himself, to keep us connected to him in this crazy world. Until the day comes when he comes for us again and we get to live with him for eternity. So as we have received this gift today, depart in his peace. Amen. Receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let us stand up and sing the final song together.
Days may be darkest, but your light is greater. You light our way, God, you light our way. When evil is rising, you're rising higher, with power to save, with power to save. You keep hope alive. You keep hope alive from the beginning to end. Your word never fails. You keep hope alive because you are alive. Jesus, you are alive. Death had a stronghold, but your life was strong.
few announcements. First, there's going to be a baptism, Emma Rose, after the service today, and family meeting next Sunday at 11 o'clock at the Bible study hour. So be here for that. Let's see here. Mulch. Mulch sale is in full swing. If you need to order some, you can order it on the church website, we can get that to you real soon. It looks like April 22nd. Is that like next weekend? Yeah. It looks like that's going to be the day. All right. If anybody needs individual prayer, we have an elder waiting in the prayer chapel to pray with you. The rest of us, don't forget to stick around for Bible study after the service. God's blessing on your week.